Well, happy Labor Day, everybody. Do you get the day off tomorrow? Woo! Some people say no, most people say yes. Did you know? I didn't really know. I looked up Labor Day, and Labor Day is actually a day that honors the contribution of workers in this entire country for and what they add to the strength and the prosperity and the well-being of this country. Isn't that nice to be acknowledged for that, that we contribute that to this country, all of us? I really like that. And so the title of my talk today is A Labor of the Heart. And I'm really talking about work, the work that we do, whatever that work is, to have our work be a spiritual practice, to have our work be a part of our spiritual path. And so whether you have a paying job or a non-paying job like a homemaker or a mother or taking care of somebody who you love or volunteering somewhere, whatever that work is, whether it's paid work or not work, it's still the same thing. I'm talking about allowing that labor that you give to be a gift of service, because truly the work that we do is community service. It is always serving. And so the theme that has come out of home office for this month is, for the month of September, is love as community service. And actually, each week they put out a theme also. And so this week's theme says, we dedicate our time, talent, treasure, and expertise to the healthy and joyful evolution of our spiritual community, the community in which we live, and the greater world at large. We dedicate to being of service. So it's talking about, as we give of that, that is being of service, that is part of our spiritual path. That's an aspect of that spiritual path. Because work, whatever we do for work, is one of the ways that we give of ourselves in this world. It's one of the ways that we share our spirit, that we share our wisdom, that we share our love, that we share our own unique gifts and talents, that we share our creativity. Work is one of the ways that we share all those parts of ourselves to whoever the recipient is of that work, whether it be our customers or your spiritual community or your coworkers or the world. But we're sharing all of those aspects of ourselves with those people. The problem is, and I'll bet every single one of you can relate to this in this room, sometimes we don't want to go to work. In fact, sometimes we're resentful that we have to go to work. And that means sometimes then we're grouchy, and sometimes we have a lousy attitude when we go to work. And then some of us might even have an aspect that we feel like the work that we're doing is out of integrity with our spiritual values. One of the pillars of Buddhism talks about right livelihood. And it says that Buddha, in his first sermon after enlightenment, the Buddha explained the way to peace and wisdom and nirvana, which is heaven. And that is the Noble Eightfold Path. And so the fifth fold of that path is right livelihood. And that means doing work that causes no harm. So in his day, it meant things like not working, being involved in war. Today it would look like maybe not working in a factory that makes weapons or makes things for war, or not being in any kind of a trade that victimizes people, like not being in human trafficking and the sex trade, or not being involved in drugs that cause addiction in people. It really means conscious livelihood, being conscious of what we do and how that contributes or does not contribute to the world. And so to me, I would also add to that thought of right livelihood, I would also act working in a way that has a positive impact on ourselves and on those around us. It also means doing work that is meaningful to you. It means doing work that serves your own growth, that enables you to discover undiscovered aspects of yourself and to be able to bring them forward in the world, to discover parts of yourself and to discover who you really are through what it is that you're doing and sharing and giving. Work as an avenue of self-expression. work as an avenue that serves your spirit. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about right livelihood. And so Eric Butterworth says in the book Spiritual Economics, the word vocation comes from the Latin meaning I call. Begin to think of your work as a calling. The creative process is calling, singing its song in you, as you. So what if you looked at your work as a calling? The calling of spirit, the calling of your own spirit, the call to express and bring your gifts to the world. Your work and what you do for work is the way that the love intelligence of this universe unfolds itself through you. Through you, and through you, and through you, and through you. That's how that love intelligence unfolds itself in this world. And so I heard a story this week about a man named Mattress Mac, is what they call him. And he has a furniture store in Houston. The furniture store is 160,000 square feet of space where he has furniture. And what he has done in this hurricane is invited people to come and be there and to make themselves at home. He has made his showroom a sanctuary. And there are pictures of people sleeping on the beds and of children playing and a picture of a mom feeding a baby and falling asleep in a wingback chair in his showroom. He actually says that he's losing $60,000. Was that what it said? $60,000 a day because he can't do his regular business. But he says that he is here to help people. And that he believes that service above self. And he's teaching his children service above self. And so he has been serving the population of Houston for the past 35 years, making available to them furniture for their homes and mattresses to sleep on. But during this hurricane, he has brought service to a whole new level. And it's the second time he's done it. He did it also when Katrina was here. He is serving many, and he is serving spirit. And he is serving his own spirit. And he is serving the Christ of his being, that Christ presence that lives inside every one of us, that is a presence of oneness and love and wholeness. And so Joel Goldsmith says, in serving each other, we are serving the Christ consciousness within us and within them. That's what happens when we are of service to people. When the work that we do is being of service, whether it's to your spiritual community or to your customers or to the world, we are then in alignment with our spirit. We are then in alignment with our own divinity. When we are of service to another person, what happens is we attain a deeper sense of connection with humanity. Think about that. If the work that you do right now, you did it with an attitude of being of service, do you feel you would have a deeper sense of connection with those that you're serving? A deeper sense of connection with humanity? We gain a deeper sense of connection with ourself, with a capital S self, which means, in turn, we gain a deeper sense of connection with God. That's the way that it works. And so we have a need, all of us, to make a living. We also have a need to give and to share of ourselves. And we have a need to be of service. And so I have a question for you that I'd like you to answer. And I'm going to have you write it down on the piece of paper that says notes inside. So if you need a pen, raise your hand and Barbara will give you a pen. And so my question to you is this. You can close your eyes if you want to find that answer inside of you, but how can the work you do, whether it's work for pay or not pay, it doesn't matter, how can the work you do be something that invites or allows your spirit to express in a greater way? How can the work that you do be work that invites your spirit to express in a greater way? How can the work you do be something that invites your heart to express in a greater way? How can it be something that allows your heart to express in a greater way? How can what you do deepen your spiritual life? How can what you do for work deepen your spiritual life? And one last question. How can what you do deepen your connection with yourself, your divine self? How can what you do deepen or create a deeper connection with yourself? And so I invite you to open your eyes. And Eric Butterworth says, think of your work not as a place to make a living, but as an opportunity to make a life. Think of your work not as a place to make a living, but as an opportunity to make a life. And so I read a story this week about a woman named Joy who lives in the Philippines. And it said that her younger years were marred by teasing from her classmates. She didn't know what was happening to her, but she was developing bald spots on her head. And the hair loss at first was gradual, then it became permanent, and soon all of her crowning glory was gone. Joy eventually lost all of her hair, even across her entire body and even her eyebrows. Braids and hair accessories covered it up at first so the other kids wouldn't ask questions. And her parents were always on damage control, cleaning off the vandalism that the kids would write on the walls, making fun of the fact that Joy was bald. The family sought help and learned the bitter truth that Joy had alopecia. Joy resorted to treatments, many treatments, having shots in the head and all sorts of really painful treatments throughout her entire life, until years later, after she got married, her husband, Audi, told her to stop. Despite the acceptance and of wearing wigs, she was having a hard time fixing one thing, her eyebrows. Meeting people would always be difficult. Swimming was a bummer, and everything that needed to be done quickly took so much longer, all because of her eyebrows. They either needed to be drawn on, or they'd been accidentally erased, or something like that. And then Joy met Edwin, a tattoo artist, who gives free eyebrow tattoo services for people with alopecia. He does it to bring joy to people like Joy. He doesn't charge to create unique eyebrows that fit each face. He only asks that they pay it forward. As soon as her eyebrows were done, life took a different turn. Yes, her hair is still gone, but the comfort of waking up with beautiful and permanent eyebrows made her and many other women who Edwin has helped much happier. So you know what? It's not even a matter so much of what we do for work. It's about how we do it. It's about the consciousness with which we come to work. It's about our intention of what we're doing when we do our work. I personally feel so blessed to have this job as a minister, where I get to make a difference in so many people's lives and help people make their own lives better. It is such a blessing. And I think all of you also know that I work 2 days a week as a hairdresser. And also, I feel so blessed to be able to do that because I get to make people feel good. And not only feel good when they leave because they have great hair that they get to have for the next month or 6 weeks or whatever, but also because of the conversations we have, because I am present with them, because I listen to them and they get to be heard and they get to be seen. And what a huge gift that is, that I get to give them that gift. And so I come to both of those types of work with that consciousness, with that attitude of what an honor it is to be of service to them, what a gift it is to me to be able to be of service. And so it doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, it's that attitude of being of service and what an honor it is to serve people and what a blessing it is. And so I actually went to a minister's conference, an educational conference a month or two ago, and one of the things that I walked away from the conference with was the idea of how important it is that every ministry that we have in church, like children's ministry or the food in the back, which we're calling a breaking bread ministry or a greeting ministry, whatever, all the different ministries, that each one of those have a vision statement. They have a purpose statement, because it's that consciousness then that we come from when we're doing whatever that job is, and it makes it different. And so I'm going to share a few of those that I've been working on with you. And so one is children's ministry. And it says, we provide a safe, loving, and fun environment for children to gain an understanding of spirit, of their own spiritual nature, and to embody spiritual values. And what that means then, whoever's teaching, is we can bounce it off of that. Am I creating a safe and fun environment for these children? Is what we're doing here today teaching them either about spirit or their own spiritual nature or about spiritual values? That way, whatever is going on, even if we're playing with bubbles, it's coming from a consciousness, this is what I'm doing. I'm creating fun and safety here so we can talk about spirit and have the conversations. And so the breaking bread ministry, which is about having snacks in the back, it says we provide snacks after service, here's the key, to encourage lingering, to support personal connections, and build spiritual community. If it's your turn and you've signed up to bring snacks and you did it, knowing that I'm creating an environment here and an opportunity so people will stay longer, so that we build community and we build connections with each other here. It has an entirely different feel to it than the fact that I'm bringing cookies to church this Sunday. And the greeting ministry says, we are the face of Living Beyond Limits for those who arrive on Sunday morning. We provide a warm and friendly welcome to those entering the sanctuary, enabling each person to feel seen and valued and welcome. So when a person is out there greeting, their job is to make someone feel welcome and that they're valuable. It's valuable that they're here, that they are valuable, to make them feel like they've been seen today, to make them feel important. That's totally different than handing out bulletins when you're standing out there. So it's the consciousness with which we come to something that creates our experience of it, and it creates the experience the other person is having of it as well. When we do something from that consciousness, it's different. And so one of my invitations for you this week is to sign up to be a greeter. I would like every single person that's in this room to be a greeter. It is so much fun to get to be that one that is present and loving and welcoming people when they show up. To be a greeter with that intention, the intention of being that warm welcome, of seeing them, of letting them know they're valuable, to do it with the intention of being of service to your spiritual community, to do it with the intention of being of service to your own spirit, of being of service to their spirit, to do it with the intention of being of service to the Christ presence within you and the Christ presence within them, seeing that when they arrive. And so I'd like to close with something that Ernest Holmes says in the Science of Mind textbook. He says, pure religion, which I'm going to change to spirituality, pure spirituality manifests itself through acts of kindness and mercy. It is not arrogant, claiming a front seat in heaven, but is humble before the great whole. It unifies with all humanity and finds no great difference between saint and sinner. Such a spirituality as this, the world of today needs, for it is sick of pretense and would like a practical demonstration of a belief in God made manifest through good works. When we are of service here, when you're a greeter, it is coming from that consciousness of belief in the presence of that infinite one in you and in them, and doing good works from that place. And you can do that everywhere, in all the aspects of your life. And you can do that in your work, whatever your work is. And so let what you do be a way of being of service in this world, being of service to your spirit, being of service to the spirit in the other person, being of service to the divinity of your own being. Let what you do be to bring the presence of the infinite love of this universe into the world in a way that is a blessing to everyone. And so happy Labor Day to you. Happy Labor of the Heart and Spirit Day to you. Blessings to each of you, and thank you for walking this path. Blessings. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Oh, and so we just take our attention right now from this world of form and turn our attention to the world of spirit, that infinite realm that is everywhere present, that one presence, that one power, that one life of the divine, that one divine presence that is in and through everything that is around and about throughout all of space and all of time. This presence that fills everything with its beingness, that fills everything with its love and its creativity and its wisdom and truth and light and oneness. For this is the presence that we live in. This is the presence that fills everything. This is the presence that is closer than breath and nearer than feet. This is the presence whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. This presence that we walk in and live in is here today having its way through us by means of us, as our own unique gifts and talents, as our own way of being of service, as our own heart, as that which we share with the world, that which we bring to the world. We are the avenues through which this presence of love and light expresses itself. And so today we are open in a whole new way to be that conduit through which this divine presence unfolds itself as good and as a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. And so how grateful I am to be walking this path, to be living this life of the divine, to being saying yes to this presence. How grateful I am that we are each walking this path of the divine and bringing it into the world in a way that is beneficial. What a blessing it is to participate in this. And so it is with this heart filled with gratitude that I release this prayer into that infinite law and saying, thank you, God, for all of this. And so it is.